from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Last week, 17 state attorneys general sent a letter to Craigslist calling on the San Francisco-based classified ad website to close down its adult services section over concerns about sex trafficking and prostitution. Craigslist has been condemned by a number of human rights groups for facilitating sex trafficking and prostitution, while the website officials argue that they monitor for ads tied to illegal activity and call law enforcement when appropriate. Their CEO has condemned sexual trafficking as a despicable crime. The essential question comes down to what responsibilities does a website have to recognize and stop criminal activity facilitated through the site? We take up the debate in the next hour after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's forum program. What are the legal responsibilities of websites for criminal activity aided by their existence? San Francisco-based Craigslist received a letter from 17 state attorneys general calling on the classified ad website to shut down its adult services section, which has been described by some as a Walmart for online sex trafficking. This issue is linked to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act and Communications Decency Act, which protect online publishers from action by third parties on their site. And we'll take up the debate in this morning's opening hour of forum. Joining us from New York City is Norma Ramos, who is executive director of the Coalition Against Trafficking in Women. She led a protest at the offices of Craigslist here in San Francisco back on the 8th of July, and we welcome you to the program. Good morning.
Thank you.
Glad to have you.
Thank you for hosting the show today.
Thank you for that, and we also want to welcome Jim Buckmaster, who's here with us in studio. He's CEO of Craigslist. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Ryan Kahlo is also here with us in studio. He's a senior research fellow with Stanford Law School Center for Internet and Society. Welcome. Good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you all for being here. And Norma Ramos, I'd like to begin with you and find out what your concerns are here. I know the protest was really essentially against what you see as facilitating sex exploitation of particularly girls and women. Essentially, what you're saying, I'll put it in kind of the vulgate, ordinary language out in the streets, is that Craigslist is acting as a kind of cyber pimp?
Well, that's what we have been charging them with for some time now, because it's very clear the role that Craigslist is playing as the most popular website for advertising prostitution, many of which of these ads involve the prostitution of children, the prostitution of adult women who are clearly there through circumstances of poverty and sexual abuse in childhood, drug addiction that stems most often, by the way, from the prostitution. And so we're talking about facilitating really the most crass forms of exploitation of vulnerable human beings. And we have asked this website to do the right thing and drop those ads.
You want them to shut down their adults, their adult services.
Yes, and they can remain a very, very profitable company without maintaining this section.
Would this possibly? In fact, I know when you had the protest here in San Francisco, there was a counter protest, and you had sex workers who were counter protesting, saying essentially that if you shut down the adult services section of Craigslist, you're going to pretty much drive prostitution underground and make women more vulnerable to rape and violence and arrest.
Well, that argument, of course, always surfaces. What we have found by doing this work, CATW is the world's leading organization, abolitionist organization, and we're now in our 22nd year. And so we have been exposed to those arguments over time. And what survivors of prostitution tell us is that legalization of prostitution, which is really what they argue for, actually makes prostitution more dangerous and makes it more acceptable and normalizes the commercial sexual exploitation of human beings. It actually does not serve to protect. It actually makes the prostitution worse. The vast majority of human beings found in prostitution are actually not there by choice. They're there through circumstances of the inequality of women, of poverty, of sexual abuse in childhood, and of pimping, which is the world's oldest, by the way, profession. And prostitution is the world's oldest oppression. So when people say, well, let's legalize it, why would you want to legalize oppression? We want to actually help people escape circumstances that are clearly abusive and destructive to human beings.
Talking to Norma Ramos, who is Executive Director of the Coalition Against Trafficking in Women. She's with us from New York City. I know you want Craigslist to essentially set the industry standard here and encourage them to shut down these adult services, the adult services section. You've also, though, said some pretty strong things about their, well, their passivity or their lack of responsiveness to what you've put out to them. That is, we'll hear in a moment from their CEO, but I know I've read his blog and I've essentially seen what he has to say. And what he has to say is that they're monitoring very carefully for illegal activity and they're reporting to law enforcement. And you say that that is not the case?
No, it's actually not the case. It's really impossible for them to monitor as closely as they say. And if you go on their website right now, you will find ads that are so clearly advertising for prostitution and sex trafficking. It's so obvious. There's no way. They post over 3.5 million, they call it adult services, ads per year. There's absolutely, with their tiny staff, because if you read the business section, you'll find that they actually boast about how few people they hire. They don't have the staff to do the proper monitoring. They're also not law enforcement experts. So there's no way that they could actually monitor this site to prevent the illegal activity that is coming, passing through this site. There's just no way. Now, this is what's stunning to me about Craigslist. I have to tell you, as a lawyer, I'm amazed by this. They have been able to stare down 40 attorneys general. There have actually been more than 17, but over the years, 40, I think it's up to 43 attorneys generals have come together and have spoken as a group and have asked Craigslist to take action to ultimately cease posting these ads because of the obvious harm that is being facilitated by Craigslist. Now, you know, to me it's stunning that they could stare down 40 states' attorneys general. And then also a lawsuit by Cook County Sheriff Dart, who has been for some time now showing evidence, demonstrating the evidence of harm, illegal activity being carried out through Craigslist, and they were able to defeat that lawsuit. We, by the way, did the amicus brief and got 65 leading signatories for that amicus brief.
Yeah, I read that amicus brief, and actually, I want to take that point, Norma Ramos, and go to Jim Buckmaster and get his response to not only mentioning of 43 attorneys general, although 17 sent the letter out to Craigslist requesting them to essentially close down these adult services. But Jim Buckmaster, the Cook County Sheriff, said in his law, and the amicus said in the lawsuit, that you've created the largest source of prostitution in America. I mean, that's the wording of it. You're working just like a pimp here and essentially creating a public nuisance. I mean, the charges are pretty serious.
You know, obviously we read the brief as well, and we take exception with that. We are not a source of prostitution at all. In fact, we have invested heavily in keeping ads for prostitution out of our adult services category. I mean, Norma scoffed at our ability to staff that, but in truth, we have hired a team of attorneys, and we pay a licensed U.S. attorney to closely review the text and the image of each ad posted to our adult services category.
Can you give a number on those? Because I saw Craig Newmark interviewed on CNN, and a rather aggressive young reporter said to him there have been fewer than 100 ads accounted for in terms of law enforcement. Is that still the case? Because fewer than 100, considering all the number of ads that are in there, and you know, they're pretty blatant, some of them, about youthful adult services and erotic services and all of these kinds of things. And difficult for you to police, I would say.
The 100 ads I think you're referring to are our reports via the cyber tip line to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Craigslist is the only venue that carries adult service ads that does report via the cyber tip line to NCMEC. And we report any and all ads that match their reporting categories, and we're in regular communication with them as to our reporting. And I've actually made a couple of trips to the National Center, and that's a very high priority. And there's no higher priority for our management of that category on our site than to keep all young people out of there.
Can you do that kind of, well, investigative work, really? Because some of these ads are pretty euphemistic and disguised, and, you know, you don't really know if they're promoting illegal activity.
Certainly, they engage in marketing language, as they do in any category on our site. But the reality is, when people talk about the ages of persons advertising in that category, the complaint is always that the people who are advertising are actually a lot older than they say in the ad.
And what about the revenue for this? I've seen some, well, things that don't necessarily elucidate what this revenue is for. I think you've said that most of it goes to nonprofit and fulfills the service, which I know was behind Craigslist originally, to try to be very active in terms of public service with respect to nonprofits in the community. Where does the money go?
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing that everyone agrees about Craigslist, it's that we are virtually alone in our restraint in monetizing our site. Experts in industry have often marveled at that. We never wanted to charge for this category of ads, which we added to the site in 2001. But after repeated prompting from attorneys general and others in law enforcement to charge, we did so, although, for instance, Richard Blumenthal in Connecticut insisted that we charge $100 per ad. Obviously, we decided not to do that.
So the money is going where now? I mean, we're talking about considerable amount of revenue, like billions in terms of...
Craigslist is not in the billions category. As far as...
2010, $36 billion revenue, 22% increase. I'm talking about overall revenue for Craigslist. I don't know how much of that's adult services, but that's really what I'm asking.
I think you're saying billion with a B. Our revenues are not in the billions. We don't publish our finances, but...
I'm sorry, I said billions, I meant millions. You're absolutely right. But yeah. $36 million in revenue, let's say even $5 or $6 million is from the adult services, that all goes into nonprofit?
In the past, for the erotic services category of our site, we pledged all net revenues to charity, which was an unprecedented move on our part, a voluntary move on our part, and that's a pledge that we've fulfilled. When we retired that category and opened the adult services category, where every ad is reviewed by an attorney, we did not repeat that pledge and decided on our past experience that we would carry out our charitable giving in private without making public pledges.
So are you sort of saying to these attorneys general, we have the right to do this and you can't compel us otherwise and we're not going to respond to what you're arguing for here?
Not at all. I mean, I think everyone is in agreement that Craigslist is operating in compliance with all laws, but we actually agree completely with the attorneys general that our job is not done here and that there is more that we can do to become the most possibly the most socially responsible medium that's possible in managing these ads. And that's the goal that we've set out for ourselves. The only difference in opinion between us and the AGs is how do you get there? To us, it would be a catastrophic mistake to declassify the adult service ads back into the personals, back into our free personals and other sections of the site. People forget that Craigslist personals are used more than all the other leading personal sites combined, and we really don't want to destroy our personals by declassifying adult service ads back into the personals. We want to keep them confined in adult services and do a better and better job of managing them. We feel that we do the best job of any site or venue carrying such ads currently, but we're committed to doing a much better job in the future. And with respect to that, I think we're in wholehearted agreement with the AGs.
But when you're asked to set the industry standard by essentially not providing this Walmart for sex trafficking, as it's been called, you decline.
There really is no it's a misnomer to call us that. There is an exceedingly low crime rate on Craigslist and in adult services in particular, I mean, we've looked and we've failed to find a single conviction for human trafficking associated with our adult services section. That to me, that's a far cry from being a Walmart for sex trafficking.
Certainly didn't help you when we had that case with the murder, though, back east, a young medical student and so forth. That tended to be a sensational case, and Craigslist name was heralded all about with it.
Sure. I mean, I think internet is still relatively new, and when you have a sensational murder case that where a tool like Craigslist was employed, it is of high interest, and we welcome the interest because this is a area that we're deeply committed to doing the best job that we can, and we have certainly appreciated all the feedback that we've gotten from law enforcement, from attorneys general, from nonprofit groups, and we continue to look for that feedback because this is a section of the site where we're committed to doing the best job that we can.
Jim Buckmaster, CEO of Craigslist. Ryan Kahlo is Senior Research Fellow with Stanford Law School Center for Internet and Society. They're in abidance of the law here, Ryan Kahlo?
I think this is one of those rare cases in the law where the law is pretty clear. And what the law says, and there's a federal statute directly on point here, is that with a couple of exceptions we can talk about, a website like Craigslist is not responsible for what users post on the site. So when the internet was young, there was a concern that it wouldn't flourish as a communications platform if every website had to worry about every being responsible for every chat room remark. And so in connection to another larger statute, Congress decided to immunize websites and ISPs and others against what users do. And so, for instance, if I were to defame you on Facebook, you would have to sue me. You couldn't sue Facebook for defamation.
So the law is pretty clear, is what you're saying. I mean, this, and yet we're talking about court battles up ahead, congressional debate possibly, all sorts of moves to maybe even create new laws to go after criminally, maybe a website that might be facilitating criminal activity.
Well, there's a number of different moves available to you if you feel that you're in disagreement with the law as it stands. I mean, you can litigate it and see if you can get a court to agree with your interpretation. And that's been the tack that's been taken up to a point. And with a few exceptions, this is called CDA Section 230 immunity is the name of the statute. It's held up pretty well. And so in the Dart case that the first speaker mentioned, in that case, the claim was that Craigslist was facilitating prostitution, and there was an attempt to sort of say, well, it's not that we're going after Craigslist because of what the users are doing for that particular content, but rather for creating this environment. And the court, in this case, it was an Illinois Northern District federal court, said that didn't suffice, and basically Craigslist was able to maintain its immunity. And there have been other cases along those lines.
Isn't there an interstate commerce exception to this, though?
Well, there's a couple of interesting exceptions to CDA immunity. One of them is actually for basically anything intellectual property. That's handled by another statute that you mentioned at the outset, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act online. There's also an exception for federal criminal law. And that includes...
An exception with criminal statute.
Well, there's an exception with federal criminal statute. The way that the law is phrased is that it says this law will have no effect on federal criminal statutes, and it gives a couple examples, and it says any other federal statute. So if that were the claim, then CDA immunity might not hold up. With respect to state law, it says no effect on state law, and then it says, I'm quoting here, consistent with this section. And so the drafters decided that they needed to include something that said, look, this doesn't have any effect on any state law except for insofar as the state law conflicts with what CDA 230 is trying to do. I don't feel that any of the claims that have been made against Craigslist so far fit into these exceptions.
So what are the attorneys general standing behind here? I mean, what legal principle are they trying to uphold? Because this could affect many internet sites if they have their way.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, there's a sense in which I think it's fair to say that the attorneys general are are really appealing to corporate responsibility at this point, and in a sense trying to relitigate something in the court of public opinion that they've lost in actual courts. One example is that there was a claim against one of the signatories, Henry McMasters in South Carolina, that he had initially tried to approach Craigslist and at one point threatened to go after them criminally for, I think, aiding and abetting prostitution was the claim.
This is while he was running a political campaign, we should mention.
Sure, it was.
Things died down after he lost. But
that's right. And so Craigslist successfully sought and really obtained a declaratory judgment, a temporary injunction against McMasters from going after them, essentially on that theory of the law. And then the idea was, look, you can't go after them because they, again, can't be held responsible for the content that their users are doing. Recently, Craigslist sought to make that injunction permanent and were unsuccessful in making it permanent. But the theory there was that the threat had gone, and so there's no need for a permanent injunction. And so really, there have been a couple of legal avenues that have been tried. Public nuisance is a very interesting theory in a sense, right? So that's the idea that think of a rowdy bar in a quiet neighborhood. So the idea there is that, yes, the individual acts that you're worried about, the vandalism, the public drunkenness, the urination, whatever it might be, are actually perpetrated by the patrons of the bar, not the bar itself. And yet the bar can still be held liable in that instance under a public nuisance theory if a certain number of elements are met. That might be actually a useful analogy in this case. The difference is it just stands directly in contravention to Section 230 of federal law. So the other avenue that you can pursue if you're concerned about this is you can seek to remedy or to change or reform this law, and people are starting to do that, and there's some interesting arguments in favor of it and some interesting arguments against, but the law is what it is now.
Well, let me go back to Norma Ramos, who, as we learned earlier, is a lawyer and was involved in the amicus brief that was filed in Cook County. I mean, we're hearing from Ryan Kahlo, Ms. Ramos, that this is maybe more about corporate responsibility or public nuisance than about the law, that Craigslist can't be seen as a criminal here.
Well, actually, I think it's about all three things. Jim Buckmaster said that he sees his company as the most socially responsible medium that's engaged in these classified ads. That's actually not correct. There's a competitor called Geebo, G-E-E-B-O, and they refuse to post prostitution ads. So there is an example of a website that handles classified ads that has decided very consciously not to host those ads.
Could I ask Jim Buckmaster to respond to that? I just want to hear his response, and then I'm going to actually give out the phone number because we're coming up on a break. But we'll come back to you. Go ahead, Jim Buckmaster.
Yeah, Geebo is one of thousands of copycat sites for Craigslist. If you take all those thousands of copycat sites and add all their traffic together, they get less than 1% of the traffic that Craigslist gets, and Geebo has been around for 10 years. So I think as far as social responsibility is concerned, the public has spoken as far as which site the public feels is socially responsible, and that's obviously Craigslist.
Well, we are coming up on a break. We'll hear more from both Jim Buckmaster and Norma Ramos as well as Ryan Kahlo, but we also want to hear from you, and I want to cordially invite you to join us on this program, which you can do now by phone. Our toll-free number is available to you, whether you're listening on radio, internet, or a Sirius satellite. It's 866-733-6786. We do welcome your involvement. Any questions or comments you might have, again, join us toll-free at 866-733-6786 or via email. And our email address is simply forum@kqed.org. You can also post a question or a comment on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on the segment, talking with Ryan Kahlo, who's here with us in studio. He's Senior Research Fellow with Stanford Law School Center for Internet and Society, and Jim Buckmaster, CEO of Craigslist, also here in studio, and Norma Ramos with us from New York City this morning, who is Executive Director of the Coalition Against Trafficking in Women, and a number of human rights groups have joined internationally, in fact, have joined Ms. Ramos. We'll continue. We'll hear from you. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. 17 state attorneys general sent a letter to Craigslist last week calling on the San Francisco-based classified ad website to shut down its adult services section over prostitution concerns. And in this hour, we're discussing the debate over the online ads. We're talking with here in studio Ryan Kahlo, who is senior research fellow with Stanford's Law School Center for Internet and Society, and Jim Buckmaster, who's CEO of Craigslist, and Norma Ramos is with us by phone, executive director of the Coalition Against Trafficking in Women. We're going to go to your calls and emails forthwith. Norma Ramos, I want to give you an opportunity, though, to say what you wanted to say. You wanted to make a couple more points.
Yes, I certainly did. Back to social responsibility as far as corporate social responsibility. Craigslist would like to present themselves as being a corporate responsible citizen. But what we have found, for instance, is that not only have they defied the will of over 40 attorneys general, but they sent a letter to the Women's Funding Network on June 7th of this year, a cease and desist demand letter, because they released findings of a group that they funded in Georgia that showed that Craigslist is by far the most efficient medium for advertising sex with young females. Ads on that site, on Craigslist site, received three times as many responses compared to identical ads placed on other sites. So they are absolutely, he's right, they are the lead site for classified ads, but they are the lead site for prostitution ads. And what they found in that study that Craigslist wants to actually suppress is that many of the men who exploit children were actually, once they were told that they were young girls, they still wanted to go ahead and buy those children. And Craigslist wants to suppress this study. Now, we have just spent a lot of time talking about how the law protects what they do. And they are using the law. Craigslist is using the law to suppress a legitimate study that was funded by the Women's Funding Network. I don't know of where that has ever happened before. And then they go after the funder of that study. That's pretty shocking.
Let me get a response from Jim Buckmaster, because I do want to go to our callers. And essentially saying you defied the Attorney General. But aside from that, the cease and demand letter was trying to suppress a study that was done, a legitimate study. And we went after those who did the study.
Nothing could be further from the truth. If you look at the cease and demand, what we asked for was to actually see the study, and the study was not released. Initially, what was released was a bunch of untrue defamatory remarks aimed at Craigslist. The study itself was not released. We fought hard to get the study released. We looked at the study. It doesn't support the remarks that were made. And that study, such as it is in the process of being utterly debunked by academics. It's really not a study at all. To the other subject, far from defying 40 attorneys general, what she's referring to is the joint statement we signed with 40 attorneys general, covering all the measures that we agreed to take alongside those attorneys general, and which we have taken. Yes, 17 attorneys general have sent us a strongly worded letter this week again, but all internet companies of our size have received a number of strongly worded letters from attorneys general. That's the way attorneys general operate. And as large internet companies, it's our job to reach the goals that the attorneys general set out for us. They don't always have the best ideas, in our view, on how to reach those goals, but we're determined to reach the goal that they've set out for us.
It's pretty difficult, though. I think, Ryan Kahlo, we could agree, when you have things that are advertised as adult entertainment or erotic services and so forth for Craigslist, despite what their intentions might be, to be able to really understand what some of these ads are about.
It is extremely difficult to police any user-generated content of that magnitude, that size. I can't comment specifically on the measures that Craigslist has taken, but I know that it's generally very, very hard. I will say that it's something of a double-edged sword when you go and investigate user-generated content and acts of criminality. On the one hand, it does facilitate the possibility of more criminal activity and sometimes quite serious criminal activity. On the other hand, it gives law enforcement another tool by which to enforce the law. So if you think back to that very high-profile murder case a few years back, the reason that they caught the suspect, I understand, is because they traced his IP address. And so when these things happen in a electronic forum, there's a detriment, but there's also a benefit.
Well, I think with our first caller kind of on point here, Paul joining us from Des Moines, Iowa. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
Yes, sir. You're on the air. Join us.
I understand that it's difficult to police user content, but to do it any other way, it's really playing whack-a-mole. I'm thinking of a bar in particular. I'm getting some feedback for some reason. I'm thinking of a bar in Norfolk, Virginia when I was in the Navy. There were a lot of bad elements hanging out late night, a lot of vandalism, a lot of police calls, and so the city tried to shut the bar down. That was unsuccessful. They tried to get the bartender to cooperate. That was unsuccessful. So they just put half of their cops at the bar at closing time every night, and within 3 weeks, the problem was solved. I don't see why law enforcement can't work with Craigslist, post false ads if they have to, also follow the people that are engaging in illegal activity, take them off the streets and mark them so they know who they are. And within a couple of few months, I'm pretty sure everybody will get the point that Craigslist isn't a place for illegal activity.
Well, it's a good thought. I think you have to admit, Jim Buckmaster, when you see these shows like To Catch a Predator, you could work with police on that level, could you not?
We're actually widely known for being the most responsive internet company in working with law enforcement in terms of turning around the requests for information we get from them. But we've gone beyond that in creating special search software that law enforcement and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children uses to scan content on our site when they're looking for phone numbers of interest or when they're looking at images. We set up software where they can look at across all of our sites at once, whereas normally you have to search site by site. That's an area.
And they have to use credit cards when they buy ads?
One of the few complaints we've gotten from law enforcement in recent months is that their ads, when they try to post fake ads on our site as part of sting operations, they can't get those ads up because our standards are too strict.
Yeah, well, what about allowing law enforcement to do that? I mean, working in concert with law enforcement.
Up to now, they haven't reached out and asked us to create a special vehicle of that site, of that sort, so perhaps we'll hear that after
this
call.
Well, if somebody in law enforcement is listening, I think it would be an effective way, perhaps, to catch predators. Carrie, join us. Good morning. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I don't believe that Ms. Ramos is being honest in her agenda. I've been a working prostitute for over 23 years, and I've worked all throughout North America and worked with women from Europe, and I'm very acquainted with my business, and most of it is between consenting adults, and it's what we make it is basically just sex. And I would like to work with people like her to keep children and people that are being victimized out of the business, because I think it could be a good business. But she conflates those that are working consensually with those that are not, and confuses children with adults, and taking advantage of the fact that we have an underground business because of stigma and law, and the fact that most of us are afraid to speak out for fear that we might lose our apartments, our other jobs, our children, and be persecuted by our neighbors. And she takes advantage of that, and she says whatever she pleases, she being a lawyer, and most of us basically working class women just trying to find a way to pay the rent.
Norma Ramos,
let me thank you for the call,
just Carrie, and get a response from Ms. Ramos. Yeah.
Yes. Well, by the way, what led into this discussion is the notion that you can't really tell what these ads are selling. I just want to read a few ads. Sexy massages, in calls, out calls. These are ads on Craigslist.
Current ads.
These were a couple of weeks ago, but if you go on now, it's the same. They're using the same language all the time. Upscale companion, beautiful high-end pinups. Pinups for generous, respectful gentlemen. Big and beautiful massage. I just disagree with this notion that it's hard to see what these ads are selling. About what the caller has to say, just for argument's sake, we'll concede that a very small percentage of prostitution, maybe 1%, maybe who the caller is, But you don't make public policy off of 1%. The vast majority of human beings found in prostitution, adults and children, will all tell you the same thing. Our organization, by the way, takes our leadership from survivors of prostitution and sex trafficking. And they'll all tell you the same thing, that if they had a choice, they wouldn't be there. The vast majority have been sexually abused in childhood, live in countries that do not have gender equality, that do not have a vast range. Even the caller said, to pay the rent. They don't have a lot of economic choices. They have not had access to education. So you make policy off of what the vast majority of experiences are, not what the 1% is.
But the caller also says that she has been doing this for 23 years and knows many working women in the same profession, and that so many of them feel the way she does.
Right. We actually don't even see human sexuality as work. We don't concede. It's funny. Jim Buckmaster calls himself a socialist. We just don't concede that everything about human beings is work. We don't concede that human sexuality is work. We see prostitution as the world's oldest oppression. We don't see it as a job like any other. In fact, the Prostitution Research and Education, which is located in San Francisco, has done studies on this, and they did the only study where they interviewed prostituted people from all over the world, and the one thing they all said was, when they were asked what they wanted a way out.
Well, let me thank. I'm sorry, I wanted to thank the caller and say goodbye to her, because I did want to go on to some of our emails here. But Jim Muckmaster, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I thought your listeners should know about the Global Alliance Against Trafficking in Women, which is actually the world's most authoritative group fighting trafficking and has the best ideas for how to do that. And their views are actually diametrically opposed to those espoused by Norma's group. And they also aren't known for their hatred of men and their hatred of all transgendered persons, as Norma's group is. Their co-founder of the group that Norma is in is quoted in her book as saying that all transgendered persons rape women's bodies by the very fact that they're transgendered people.
That sounds, on the face of it, pretty ludicrous, Norma Ramos. And are you, you've been charged with being man-hating? I don't know how you want to respond to that. Norma Ramos?
The sex industry has always accused us of being man-hating, and that, of course, serves their agenda, which is to keep the bodies of vulnerable human beings available for sale. So that's kind of ridiculous. I would expect that kind of charge from a pornographer or an official member of the sex industry. Mr. Buckmaster, you should be above that kind of name-calling. This is what the sex industry does to women's rights, human rights groups. Mr. Buckmaster, I would ask you not to engage in that kind of personal attack of our group. We are a human rights organization that is fighting for a world free of commercial sexual exploitation. We have men who work with us. Victor Malaric, who wrote the book The Johns. We have many men that work with us.
And what about transgender people? The words that we've just heard from Jim Buckmaster are pretty damning. Well, was there a statement made by anyone in your organization that the likes of which he was quoted as?
I don't know what he's reading from. Our organization, by the way, he then says GATW. That's actually ludicrous. GATW is the only NGO in the world that was formed to fight another NGO, which was us. That's their actual history. And we are the world's leading organization fighting human trafficking. We are all over the world with over 400 partners worldwide. We're the first in the world to fight human trafficking internationally. So when you have a losing argument, you now are attacking CATW, Mr. Buckmaster. I would wish that you would put your energies into the solutions, and the solutions are for you to shut down the erotic services section of your website, not to attack CATW. That's what you just did.
Mr. Buckmaster, go ahead.
I wanted the listeners to know that there's are much, much better, much more respected organizations that work in this area. And the person who holds those views about transgendered people, of which there are many in the Bay Area, is Janice Raymond, the co-founder of the group, still very active in the group. And the context in which she made those remarks are her book, transsexual empire, and she actually goes on at great length.
Well, you can go on at great length about each other. In fact, there's been a lot of damning of you and Craig Newmark and so forth, but it gets down to the fact that neither of you, I assume, would like to see sex trafficking and exploitation of women or men or of children particularly, and consequently you should be on the same team here, and yet you're completely antithetical to one another.
We actually work with a lot of groups, and we're in communication with a lot of groups. I think everyone agrees that there are harms in the adult industry and that those are terrible harms, and we certainly want to do everything that we can, I think as do all concerned parties, to eliminate these sorts of crimes and this sort of victimization. The only disagreement is how you do that, and we're doing our best to find additional ways to do that, and we're looking for the best expert advice that we can. We're in communication with many such groups, and I invite any that are listening to this show to contact us, and you can use my email, jim@craigslist.org.
Now, let me go to some of our emails here, some suggestions from listeners. Lee from Palo Alto writes, Sweden adopted a model of effectively legalizing offering sexual services but making it a crime to solicit, pay for them, or pimp for them. That is, they go after the Johns aggressively but leave the prostitutes alone. In this country, we usually do the opposite, further victimizing the victims. The Swedish model has proven more effective than any alternative. It's wishful thinking to think we can stamp out prostitution entirely, but ideologues live on wishful thinking, don't they? Instead, why don't we adopt the proven Swedish model, in which case the Craigslist issue become moot. Here's Bradley, who writes, another interesting show. Thank you for discussing it. A few comments. It seems the aggregated attorneys general are falling into the same sad rut that our other elected officials have become so fond of, and that is that it seems the AGs need to do their jobs better in tandem with their local law enforcement rather than try to make someone else responsible for their problem. Also, Craigslist is a media communications venue, so going after Craigslist in order to control the exploitation problem seems to be akin to going after the phone company because they provide the phone service these criminals so dearly rely upon in order to conduct their business. And another listener, Nate, writes, what's a website to do? Thinly disguised adult ads were hidden in the personal section. Craigslist broke them out into their own adult service category. State AGs asked for accountability. Craigslist began charging a nominal fee in order to obtain a credit card number linking back to the source of the ad. Craigslist donated those proceeds to nonprofits until the media made a case of dirty money, and some nonprofits refused to accept this tainted money. Now Craigslist donates the money anonymously, and state AGs accuse the site of profiting off prostitution. Meanwhile, these same ads can be found in numerous daily newspapers, want ad sections, and will likely appear in the personal seeking relationship sections if the adult services section is pulled. And Chaz, another listener, says the CL adult ads are obviously prostitution. What else could they be? Silly. Does Jim think he's talking to doe-eyed children born yesterday? What else would the prostitutes or sellers be selling? Text such as 150 roses per hour is used. Are flowers accepted as rent payment these days? Free speech is the only defense Jim should use. At least that would be an honest defense. And we'll get more of your calls on. Joe joins us from Oakland. Joe, good morning.
Yeah, hi there. I guess we're talking about this category, adult services or erotic services. And I imagine if you're successful at completely eliminating sex for sale, prostitution, all of that, what's left? I mean, what really are they selling there?
Well, it seems pretty evident in most cases that it is sex for sale. And just, Jim, you want to respond?
Well, what you'll find in our adult services category is the same mix of legal adult services such as escorts, companions.
Which are often euphemisms for prostitution, too. Not always, but often.
Those are issues that you'll find in that category of advertising. If you look across all of our categories of advertising, there is scope for abuse and issues that need to be addressed, and we're interested in addressing those issues to the greatest extent that we can in this category, as we do all of our categories.
Yes, Ms. Ramos. Norma Ramos, you said this is not a First Amendment issue. This is a 14th Amendment issue. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's an equality rights issue, and that is going back to the vision of CATW, which is to envision a world free of commercial sexual exploitation. You know, it is well settled that the First Amendment does not actually protect commercial speech that's related to illegal activity. That's Braun versus Soldier of Fortune magazine, 1990. By the way, human rights groups have been returning the money that Craigslist has been sending them. Advocates for Human Rights returned $25,000. The Chicago Alliance Against Sexual Exploitation returned $50,000. And what happened is Craigslist had agreed with the attorney generals that they would fund the human rights groups, but then they found they weren't sending that money to the human rights groups. And then the human rights groups were, in fact, saying, we don't want your sex trafficking tax. I wrote to Jim. Jim, you may remember my letter when you first made that agreement. I wrote to you, and I said to you, please do not send us money that has been earned through facilitating prostitution. We would not accept it. Please do the right thing and shut down your prostitution ads. Just shut it down. Jim, you still haven't agreed to do the right thing, which is to shut down that section. You could still be profitable. You could still earn enormous profits without having... I'm appealing to your sense of what is really right. And so far what I've heard from you is we will continue to facilitate prostitution. You could have a prostitution-free site. The solution, like very few social justice issues, couldn't be clearer for your website. Shut down that that section. That's all we're asking you to do.
Let me ask Ryan Kahlo again about where the First Amendment and the 14th Amendment comes into play.
Sure. Well, the 14th Amendment doesn't come into play literally, as it's a restriction on state action and not on on Craigslist or anyone else. The First Amendment's really interesting here. So even before Section 230 immunity that I mentioned, there was case law that was driven by the First Amendment that had essentially the same effect as Section 230 with a one key difference. So what had happened was in a case called Cubby, people were making allegedly defamatory remarks in a chat room. And the court decided not to hold the chat room responsible for the remarks that people made in it on the theory that a publisher shouldn't be held responsible for the content of what they're publishing unless they know it's there. And so the analogy is, you know, you couldn't go after a bookstore because one of the books in the bookstore happens to say something defamatory unless the bookstore really, really knew that that book was in there and left it in there anyway.
That gets back to the Communications Decency Act, which protects online publishers.
Absolutely. And so what happened was that so that precedent was already on the books, and then there was a competing precedent that said the opposite. Look, you're going to hold this chat room responsible for people say on it. And Congress decided to side with the Cubby decision with one change. They didn't require you to take the stuff down, the allegedly defamatory or other content down, merely because you knew about it. And so they went even further than the Cubby decision. But what's interesting here is that Section 230 immunity has deep roots in the First Amendment. You know, as to the 14th Amendment, again, that is a restriction on states and the government from picking favorites along certain particular lines.
And again, Ryan Kahlo is Senior Research Fellow with Stanford Law School's Center for Internet and Society. And our next caller joining us is Barry. Morning, Barry.
Morning. I think I forget her name, is that she's trying to legislate morality. And she keeps
Norma Ramos, just for the record.
Norma Ramos, excuse me. She's trying to legislate morality, and she says, do what's right. In her opinion, it's right, and she forgets that's just her opinion. People try to legislate morality all the time, whether it's you can't smoke marijuana or you can't drink. It's her opinion, and she has an agenda she's pushing. And she assumes that her opinion is the right opinion, and that's not necessarily the case. So it's about legislating morality. I don't think it's really about making prostitution safer, because if it's legal, I assume it's going to be safer because it's not going to be hidden from the eyes of the law.
But I think
so I dispute that.
I think Norma Ramos, if I'm not reaching here, your argument would be prostitution is illegal and particularly exploitive of children and exploitive of those who are victimized as prostitutes by pimps and the like.
Yes. It's not about legislating morality. It's about human rights, and it's about ending, of course, sex trafficking and human trafficking. And this is an old argument that legalizing it, you know, the solution to an injustice isn't to legalize it. The solution to an injustice is to end it.
But if you legalize prostitution, and we go back to the caller, the prostitute who called us, you would not run the risk of conflating what amounts to, for example, sex trafficking, which is illegal, or exploitation of children. You would just have consenting adults. In other words, there are some separate categories here. There is the prostitute who called Lorraine, I believe her name was saying that you were conflating, you know, children with adults and the like, and they are separate categories.
That's a failed experiment. We've seen in the world where countries have, in fact, said bought into that argument. Germany, for instance, the Netherlands, and what has been the end result of that? We, by the way, support the Swedish model, and we have been promoting the Swedish model. Norway now passed that law, and so has Iceland. And South Korea has a version of it. Now, when you legalize prostitution, what you do is you've given a huge gift to the sex industry and to the traffickers. And that so-called, that you think you can have neat categories of, well, the women over there, they chose it. Well, the women over there, maybe they didn't. That actually isn't what happens. What happens is that you've created a class of human beings that are available for sexual abuse, and you've actually written off human beings that are going to be treated as things bought and sold.
But where does free choice play any significant role in all this? I mean, there are people who choose to be prostitutes.
Well, we say 1%. I mean, you have to look at the
conditions. I don't know where you get that statistic from.
You have to look at the conditions under which people are making choices. And if there is equality, we could have that argument.
Well, we're coming toward...
We have poverty, we have inequality, we have racism.
We're coming toward the end of the hour, and I wanted to actually afford Jim Buckmaster sort of a final statement here from Craigslist's point of view, and we've got just about a half a minute to do that.
I was just going to say there's such a diversity of opinion amongst experts who spent their entire careers combating trafficking and exploitation. A large number of them worldwide and in the U.S. feel that the only way to end trafficking and exploitation is the decriminalization of all parts of the sex trade. That's not a view that Craigslist holds. That's not a view that I hold. I don't think that's a realistic option for the United States, but that's reality. Is the consensus of opinion worldwide skews in that direction, not the direction that Norm is mentioning. For us at Craigslist, our job is to combat any form of crime on our site, get it off of our site, and there's no section on our site that's more true of than adult services, and that's got to remain our focus.
Well, we've come to the end of the hour. I thank all of our guests. It's a vexing and certainly challenging topic, to be sure. I want to thank Norma Ramos, Executive Director of the Coalition Against Trafficking in Women, who joined us this morning from New York City, and Jim Buckmaster, the CEO of Craigslist, who joined us here in studio, and Ryan Kahlo, Senior Research Fellow with the Stanford Law School Center for Internet and Society. Thank you, one and all, and thank you, our listeners. Wouldn't be here without you, and we want to thank our Senior Editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, and our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. Another hour of Forum coming your way. I hope you'll stay tuned. For all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.